Gospel according to Luke chapter 1. I would like to read the first four verses. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order the declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. It seems to me that this short passage, only four verses in the beginning of the Gospel according to Luke, is Luke's introduction to the writing of the Gospel. When I say Luke's introduction, I don't think it's not the Lord's introduction to the writings of Luke. I believe this is the Word of God, and the Lord has a certain purpose why he has included that into the Gospel. At the first glance, it looks like a personal note to Theophilus. But it's not only introduction to the Gospel of Luke. It's also a new beginning for me. I have finished the recordings of sharing the Gospel according to Matthew, and now I would like to start recording parts or passages from the other three Gospel books, Gospel according to Luke and Mark and John, to add that to the Gospel according to Matthew, so that it would be like a more complete Gospel presentation. Why I want to do that and why I would like not to do that, I would like to explain now in a few words. I believe that the Lord has a purpose in adjusting the Bible books the way they have been adjusted, the way that we have them in the Bible, and that a good method of studying the Bible, learning the Scripture, and meditating upon the Word of God, and also a good presentation of the whole Gospel, is to start with the beginning, Matthew 1:1, and then continue through the book of Matthew, and then continue through the book of Mark, and then continue through the book of Luke and John, and then the Acts, and so on, and always make sure that we understand all the books of the Scripture in a harmony. I would think that the Gospel of Matthew is a very massive foundation, very strong ground upon which we can build our faith, adding the other books in our learning, in our study of the Scriptures. And the reason I'm not doing that, because I think I'm not going to be here in this life and in the ability to share the Scriptures that long. So because of the limited time that is left to me, I'm already 67, and my memory and my understanding seem not to grow better, but rather weaker. And I think that this way I might be able to complete the Gospel recordings by adding to the Gospel of Matthew the passages from Mark, Luke, and John that are not contained in the Gospel of Matthew. So I'm going to go in a chronological sequence, and the first part that I have found here is the Gospel according to Luke. First part, this introduction that I just read. I believe that learning the scriptures, studying the Word of God, should be done carefully and prayerfully, and should be done in a very practical way. I believe that without prayer and without learning the Word of God as the Word of God, we cannot learn anything rightly and correctly. I know that in the past times there were the people that were studying the Bible for a different reason, not to have the Word of God as their way of living and serving the Lord, but to find possible faults or mistakes or contradictions or anything that would be their proof that the Word of God is actually not the Word of God, that the Bible is just another book of mythology, of like many other books that are in the world. And those that were studying the Bible in such a manner, for that purpose, did not learn anything the way that it has been given to us by the Spirit of the Lord and in the writings of the disciples. Everything was misunderstood and misinterpreted in the minds that are darkened with unbelief and rebellion against the truth. We that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and the Son of God, the only Savior of the mankind and our Lord, if we study the Word of God but do not apply it in our daily walk, again we are going to misunderstand and we are going to misapply the Word. The right way of learning the scripture is, as much as we know, keep it and practice it in our daily walk, and then we can hope and expect that the Lord is going to reveal to us the things that are not known and not understood correctly yet. So with that in mind, I would like to continue, and I also feel that I owe to you a sincere, honest confession that I feel very insufficient for this kind of a work, and yet I hope and pray that this labor of mine will be of some help and some benefit to some of the believers, some of the disciples of our times. And the Lord can do much more than I can share here in these recordings. I would like to repeat something that I believe I mentioned in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, and that is that what I have shared here and what I'm going to share by the grace of the Lord, I do not consider that an absolute law or dogma or some rigid rule how to understand the scripture. I shared the way I see it and the way I understood it, and I hope it's going to be helpful. But but everyone should pray for good understanding and be faithful to apply the knowledge obtained by learning the scripture. And it is my prayer and my hope and expectation that the Lord will, influenced by His Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ, every heart and mind that studied the Bible. And if any one of you that are listening to these recordings believes that there is something wrong or some misinterpretation, I would be very thankful to hear about that or to find out. And in the beginning of the recordings there is my email and the telephone number, and please feel free, and not only free but also to some degree obliged, to share the truth the way you see the meaning of the scripture. And may the Lord bless every sincere student and faithful disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first verse of this chapter says that many have taken in their hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, who are many. I would think that these are many disciples in those days. And why would they have to set in order the things? I would think that the teaching of the gospel, the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the teachings of the holy apostles were written as personal letters in the beginning. Just to give an example, suppose one disciple was attending a meeting, and the apostle Paul or some other apostles were teaching and preaching and declaring the gospel and so on. And after that, this disciple would to the best of his memory or her memory write a long letter to another brother, another believer who was not present at this meeting. And so that would be just one sermon. And then in the process of time, many such letters were exchanged, and a lot of gospel teachings was in personal letters, not necessarily reliable, authentic documents. And then after a while, some of the disciples decided to gather the copies of these personal letters and check with the apostles which one of these letters are in harmony with the truth, with the history, with the experience of the apostles. And so there would be after that an authentic document, a document that is from reliable source, not third and fourth hand witness. So these authentic manuscripts were the originals. One of the disciples that were busy doing that was Luke, and many others were doing that. And among the many others, few manuscripts have been preserved, confirmed, witnessed to as reliable by the apostles And altogether it was the work of the Holy Spirit using the faithful disciples to finally give us a complete text of the New Testament. And here is Brother Luke writing to another disciple, I suppose, of the same things. And he says that many have taken in their hands to set forth in order, to put them in a sequential order, so that the small passages and fragments of the scripture would be copied as one book. And what was the order? The order was to present the gospel as it has been presented by the apostles to the younger disciples. Here the Luke is calling the apostles and the early disciples eyewitnesses. They have watched the Lord Jesus Christ preaching, teaching, and performing miracles, and now they are recording the things that they have seen and heard. They were ministers of the word. How many ministers? I would say as many disciples, that many ministers. I would think that every disciple is called of the Lord to spread the gospel, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with one another, to encourage one another, to comfort one another, and as needed to advise and counsel one another, but also very importantly to share the gospel, to reach out to the world in need of God's salvation, to share the gospel with those that are outside, whom we invite to believe the Lord Jesus Christ and to do His will. Luke is writing, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." First, I would like to say that if many of the disciples were laboring to record the scripture by hand, copying the documents or the teachings, the lessons, the sermons, and the events as they received from the apostles and other ministers that were faithful and reliable, many of the newer disciples and some of the older were laboring to write the scripture. I believe that that should be an encouragement to us today to read the scripture, so that their writings should not be without the blessing and benefit for us and today in our desire to serve the Lord, to be faithful, to trust and obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The evangelist Luke is writing here that he obtained a perfect understanding of the things that he is writing, of the gospel teachings and events related to that. So I think that perfect understanding means complete understanding, exhaustive understanding, careful research. He must have had talked to the disciples or to the ministers who were the teachers of the first generation and eyewitnesses. That's another encouragement to us today, to strive, to labor toward that goal, to have complete understanding of the scripture, to learn, to study the word of God as much as we can, and to take that work very seriously, because that's the way of salvation. That's the only source of reliable and true information we have today. And the meaningful detail here is that they want to put the scripture in order from the beginning to the end, so that nothing would be misplaced or missing, that the whole message of the New Testament be passed on down to us. I think that many problems and complications and many snares of Satan happen to diverse believers because of partial knowledge of the scripture and because of ignoring other parts of the scripture. So for us, the whole scripture is the word of God, and we should be careful to rightly divide the word of God, to know what is said, to whom has been said or written, recorded, for what purpose, at what time, under what conditions, and in what kind of circumstances, and so on, so that we can understand the meaning, both literal meaning and the spiritual meaning and significance of the scriptures. I don't have an answer to the question, who was this Theophilus? I have some interesting thoughts, at least to me, and I hope they might be interesting to you. First, about Luke, we know that he was a physician, that he was an educated man, that he was very well educated in both languages, Hebrew and Greek, and I would think probably in Latin also, because he lived within the Roman Empire, where the Latin language was the state language or the government language. The name Theophilus, translated into English, would be one loved by God, a person whom God loves. And I think it's possible to think that Theophilus was a disciple, and writing to most excellent Theophilus would indicate that Theophilus was a very high-ranking either official of some governing authority or a wealthy man, but in any case, if he was not a disciple already, I would be surprised, but if he was not already a disciple, then at least he was very sympathetic or inclined to believe the gospel. But I would think that he was rather a disciple already, looking at the words addressed to Theophilus by Luke. Another possibility, I think, might be that Theophilus was not a person at all, that the brother Luke is addressing the gospel according to Luke to all the disciples. They are all loved by God. However, in the days of persecution, and when there are many active enemies that would be very eager to destroy all the Christian writings, this writing of Luke might appear like a personal letter from one man to another, and should not right away reveal to the enemies of the gospel that this is actually a gospel book. Whatever was the intention of Luke writing this gospel, whether it was addressed to the disciples in general or just to one individual person, one disciple or one convert, I see today that the intention of the Lord has been that the gospel according to Luke be a very helpful, useful, beneficial book for all the disciples. The purpose of this book, just like the purpose of all the books of the Bible, is that we may with more certainty know the things that we have been instructed about or with, so that our personal testimony be stronger, more intelligent and more spiritual. But more than that, our personal fellowship in the Spirit of our Lord and Savior would be closer and more lively. When we know the Word of God with certainty, when we have that awareness in our heart that every part of the Scripture is truth, that throughout the Scripture we can see the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we can see our Lord and Savior in the center of that book as the central person, as one for whom the prophets were proclaiming or prophesying their messages, and one of whom the apostles did preach and talk and share with the other people that became disciples afterward, and so on. And I think that this gospel, all four books of the Gospels and the rest of the books of the New Testament, are the everlasting gospel, that it's not going to be set aside even at the end of this so-called dispensation, that even in the everlasting kingdom of our Heavenly Father, this gospel is going to have its place. That's my understanding my opinion, and if someone feels differently, I'm not going to condemn that. Let's search the Word of God and strive to live faithfully and be prayerful in that, and by the grace of God, when everything is over, when we are gathered around the throne of our Redeemer, then we will see if His gospel is there also. I think the Word of God is recorded here, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, by whom He created all. And it's the value of that is everlasting. May the Lord bless His word and multiply the gospel messages, first in the hearts of the sincere believers and disciples of our Lord, and then throughout the world. And may He also bless us with faithful and willing service to Him and to one another, in His name.